You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You just shake it back and forth. There's no motor, no batteries, and you get the results you want.
In a matter of seconds, you feel it really working your muscles.
My arms feel worked. It's definitely a good workout.
I'm feeling it in my chest and my biceps and my triceps.
Inside the shake weight are dual moving weights called dynamic inertia that simultaneously target and engage your biceps and triceps.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is about to get awkward here in a minute. Real quick, the president said today that his administration is considering reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug. This came out of a rather lengthy Q&A with the media earlier today. Quote from the president today, we're looking at reclassification and we will make a determination over the next few weeks. Though 45 states have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal or recreational use.
Yep.
Kansas is still not one of them. The federal government still classifies it as a Schedule I drug, putting it on the same tier as heroin and cocaine. In 2022, then-President Joe Biden asked the Department of Health and Human Services and the DEA to review how marijuana is scheduled. In 2023, Health and Human Services recommended that marijuana be moved to Schedule 3. It was not. In 2024, the DEA proposed a rule to transfer marijuana to Schedule 3. It was not. And so President Trump today said he is considering moving it down to a Schedule 3.
It is wild to me that some people go around every day popping Xanax like Mike and Ike's, and you get caught with a little pot in some states, and you're going to jail.
I wonder what the other four states are that have not...
Utah?
I'm sure. Legalized marijuana in some form, whether it's medicinal or recreational. My guess would be it's Kansas, obviously. Utah. One of the Dakotas, probably.
Yeah.
And somebody down south, like a Mississippi.
It's not my thing, but I don't think that it should be classified the same way as heroin.
Oh, it's not my thing either.
No, anyway.
I agree. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Story here.
You going to try that again from the top?
Here we go. We're going to try this one.
Yep.
I'm going to try to clean this up a little bit.
Okay, under one condition, I get to read his response because it's the best part.
Okay. You can read the whole story if you want.
Nope. I just want his response.
Okay. Wyandotte County commissioners are calling on ethics officials to weigh in.
You just shake it back and forth. There's no motor, no batteries, and you get the results you want.
Okay.
Wyandotte County commissioners are calling on ethics officials to weigh in after a fellow commissioner allegedly threw up his hands and mimed a pleasuring procedure during a recent public meeting. Board members Mike Kane and Andrew Davis, during Thursday's regular commission meeting, called on the Unified Government of Wyandotte County, its Ethics Commission, to review a video showing District 6 Commissioner Philip Lopez making a lewd gesture with his hand during a July 31st public meeting. Lopez, who is also running for the District 2 at-large commission seat in November's election, did not return a call from the Star as of Friday morning. He had commented on a resident's social media post that the situation had been taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And that he
this is my part.
I'm not done with the sentence. And that he was actually shaking his hand to reduce irritation in his wrists. And here's the quote.
That was the quote.
No.
The gesture they're referring to, which Lopez allegedly made during the commission meeting while Kane was speaking, came more than 5 hours into the evening. It can be used to crudely express boredom, annoyance, or to signal that something is self-indulgent or lacking purpose. He wrote in that post, it is being taken way out of context, and he blamed politics, and again submitted to the constituents that he was actually shaking his hand to reduce irritation in his wrists.
In a matter of seconds, you feel it really working your muscles.
My arms feel worked. It's definitely a good workout.
I'm feeling it in my chest and my biceps and my triceps.
Mm-hmm. Inside the shake weight.
So People are saying this is the latest in a series of behaviors that they find inappropriate for an elected official. I would submit,
in this day and age?
I would submit in this day and age, we lost that years ago.
I agree.
And the...
It ain't coming back.
The people who tend to claim the moral high ground are no longer allowed to do that. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
There is no moral high ground anymore. It's gone away. Will it come back? I don't know.
Highly unlikely.
But that is the world that we are living in. That being said, for him to try and say that he was actually exercising his wrist is one of the most classic, hilarious explanations for something I've heard in politics in a very long time.
Why not just own it?
I would have just owned it and said, look, have you listened to him speak for 5 hours? You'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah. I would have just said, yeah, I made a gesture with my hand mimicking a certain thing.
But another politician has jumped in and saying, this is despicable. Children watch this.
Oh, come
on. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Voters don't even tune in to watch that stuff.
And sure, it's juvenile, but what's so wrong?
Well, one could say that is conduct unbecoming of an elected official if we had not if that ship had not sailed years ago, Sam.
I was going to say, I could list off all of the things that every politician has done that would fall under, quote, conduct unbecoming.
Oh, and there was an F-bomb a month ago. I mean, yeah. we rightly or wrongly, that ship has sailed. So I agree with you, Scott. The only thing that I had a problem with is him not just owning it.
Here's the deal. Number one, we put politicians up on this. Well,
you might. I don't.
No, I don't. But
what's the opposite of a pedestal? What's down there?
A hole.
Yeah.
But first of all, I've never heard of Philip Lopez in my life. And to your point, it's a great point, Dana. Nobody watches these city council meetings. I can't even tell you the name of the mayor of my own town. I have no idea who the mayor of Shawnee is. No clue. I couldn't tell you the name of the person who represents me on the city council. And I can guarantee you, I have never once tuned in to a Shawnee city council meeting online. And if somebody had made that hand gesture, I would hope that they were my city councilman.
He's at least calling it what it is.
You know, I mean, you're sitting there for 5 hours in these bloviators are just going on and on and on about something that doesn't even matter. And you just sit there and you're like, oh, that's funny. Lighten up.
Comedic relief. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think that we need an ethics probe. But the fact that the word probe is used in that term also makes me laugh.
You just shake it back and forth. There's no motor, no battery.
All we're going to say about that?
You get the results you want.
You do get the results you want.
Every time.
Every time it works, every time.
Good God.
9135. I'm a 54-year-old man, and I just made that joke. And I just said grow up a little while ago.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Here's how unhip we are. We had to look these things up on the Google. Dozens of boxes of the popular Labubu toy, totaling roughly $7,000, were stolen from a California store this week.
Oh, good Lord.
According to the LA Sheriff's Department. The burglary happened around 1:30 in the morning on August 6th at One Stop Sales, a store known for its Labubu dolls and accessories.
Well, the dolls did make one stop. Then they left.
Right. The shop has since posted surveillance footage of the incident on social media. One video shows at least four masked people breaking into the store, ransacking shelves, and fleeing with boxes of Labubu merchandise.
How dumb can we get?
Well, I'm glad you asked that,
Scott. Dumber by the minute.
By the way, Labubus are not new. This type of doll has been around for quite a long time.
It looks exactly like the character in Where the Wild Things Are. Yeah, Think about Where the Wild Things Are, that childhood book that we all Our parents read that to us. We read it to our kids. It looks exactly like something from Where the Wild Things Are.
I was at a friend's birthday party a couple of weeks ago, and they told me that their boss, they work for some marketing company, their boss is so obsessed with these stupid little dolls. First of all, they have them all over the office.
Which you wear, apparently, because...
Wait, you wear them?
Yes. That's why there's that little hook at the top.
You clip them onto yourself.
Yes.
They're saying they're this generation's version of Cabbage Patch dolls.
So, like, Rihanna, Lizzo have been spotted wearing Labubu dolls as an accessory.
Shoppers often don't know which one they're getting because some of them come, quote, in a blind box, meaning their identity is unknown until the box is open.
And you can get some super rare ones, apparently.
Yeah, there's more than 300 versions of them. Where do you buy them? Like, if I wanted to go here in Kansas City to go somewhere to get them, where do you buy them?
Do I look like somebody who buys Labubu dolls?
No, you do not. Sam, do you know?
Google might be able to tell me.
All right, look it up in Kansas City and then tell me. Because during the break, I said to Scott, what is the number one or number two thing you can think of from the last even 50 years that was the hot collectible that is now worth nothing? And I will give you, this is such a good one. It was on my Facebook feed the other day. There is apparently a store somewhere in these United States. I don't remember if it was Iowa, somewhere near there, that is shaped, now vacant, like an entire gigantic picnic basket. Look it up. And it is shaped that way because that was the headquarters of something called the Longa Burger Basket. Do you remember those?
No.
Every single mom had the display in their kitchen of the Longa Burger Basket, and they were so expensive. No one ever actually used them to go on a picnic. You just displayed them until there was so much dust on top of them that your kitchen, like, literally was a hazard.
Can you spell Longa Burger?
Longa Burger was like L-O-N-G, a burger with an E-R. And if you look up their headquarters, It is now a gigantic vacant picnic basket because those baskets aren't worth 25 cents at a garage sale. And I think people paid like $300 for them back in the day.
Are you talking about this right here?
That's it.
By the way, Labubus can be found at a variety of retailers, but watch out. Some are fake.
Oh, we have fake Labubus? Oh. No.
Mm-hmm. There is a question if certain big box retailers that are supplying these dolls on their shelves are getting the real true Labubu or if these are faux Labubu.
Okay. The Longa Burgers now, if when you look these up online, you could maybe get $20 for them.
I showed you, they wanted $50.
It's all of these. But Scott, people back in the day were paying stupid amounts of money to display those in their kitchen. This is the building that is now vacant.
Yeah, that looks like a
gigantic picnic basket.
A Longa Burger.
And this is just
somebody on the text line says their family went on a trip to visit the factory.
The Labubu factory?
No, the Longa Burger basket.
Longa Burger.
A huge big deal. In fact, my mom had a knockoff one that she put silverware in and hung from the kitchen door. The silverware was just shoved in this hanging basket. So what else can you remember that was that thing?
See, no, the thing, when we were growing up, the things that I would collect or get, other than, I can think of one, hang on. But I still have a lot of the things that I bought as a kid. My Star Wars action figures.
Oh, those are actually worth something.
They're only worth something if they're still in the box. You take them out, you play with them like I did, lose all their value. Baseball cards.
Yep.
Wish I'd kept all those.
Everybody does.
And I got rid of them all when I was growing up. The one thing that I still have that is worth $0 are DVDs.
Okay. Many items once considered valuable collectibles, like Beanie Babies, Pogs, which apparently was a huge, colorful, massive fad in the 1990s, Coca-Cola collectibles.
From the text line, I spent $30 on a Labubu that I knew was fake. My daughter didn't know it was fake.
Nice.
That's the only way to go.
Yeah, they go for $25 online on average, and they're small.
Well, and I'm sure it's one of those things where they do the planned scarcity. So we'll sell 1,000 of this specific type of Labubu, and you better get it while it's hot. Otherwise, you're going to be paying $400 aftermarket.
Okay. Who buys? I mean, Rihanna and Lizzo have been spotted with them. So now we're talking about 20-somethings.
Oh, here's one. Precious Moments.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Remember, our grandmas all had the little curio cabinet in the living room filled with Precious Moments, the little ceramic dolls, Scott. And yeah, they were all in different scenes. Some of them, like for the birth of a child, you could get one. For a wedding, you could get one. They were little doll people, but ceramic, very expensive. And I think the National Precious Moments factory is somewhere on the way down to the Ozarks, isn't it?
About to find out.
Other collectibles that are now worth nothing. Pokemon cards.
Oh, there's one.
They're worth nothing?
Well, there's a select few, like the original Charizard reflective number one something something, that's worth, you know, $4 million. But overall, those giant three-ring binders of Pokemon card organizers that everybody got are worth nothing.
Really?
The antique silver serving plate. I remember my dad throwing a bunch of silver in a box, and they said, take this to Scott and Steve down at Kriegel Mesh Diamonds because they'll buy silver, right?
Right.
I walk in with the box. It goes clank, clank. I set it down. I'm like, what is this? They took one look at that, and they go, silver plated, I'll give you 25 cents.
Seriously?
Wasn't worth it. And my dad was like, I think this is really worth something. This was your great aunt's. No, it's not.
By the way, that Precious Moments factory,
Carthage, Missouri.
Yep. There it is.
Pez dispensers.
Yeah. But they weren't worth anything back then either, for the most part. I mean,
here's one. Most vintage Playboy magazines are relatively worthless to collectors.
The Vanna White.
Yeah. Jessica Hahn. Anyone?
Jessica Hahn, yeah. I remember that one. Farrah Fawcett. Ooh, that was a good one.
Pandora Charms. There's one.
Simmer down in there,
now worth less than
me. It's a little warm.
Here we go. Precious Moments figurines sell for between $5 and $20 on eBay, much less than their typical selling price. I'm going to show you the curio cabinet. Our grandma all had it. Look mm-hmm. in there, Scott. Yeah. You remember those?
Yes, I remember. But you know, but Dana, like, take Star Wars action figures, right? Let me just look this up online real fast. Because I still have a couple of vintage ones.
In the box, never played with?
No.
Yep.
Took them all out.
Hot Wheels cars.
Some worth a whole lot of money. Most worth nothing.
Like a vintage Darth Vader, you can get it online for $16.
Okay.
Out of the box.
And you're going to keep that in your attic for how long, right? So instead of the $5 you spent on it, to get $16 back.
I'm gonna have you know that I keep all of my Star Wars action figures, the ones that I have left, they're on display in the Kiss closet.
Okay. What about G.I. Joe? G.I. Joe action figures.
It's got to be in the box. Everything has to be in the box or it's worth nothing.
Phones are ringing. What else you got out there in the attic? Sure. My mom, I told you, had an entire tub of Beanie Babies with spit up on them. The grandkids all played with
them. Worth nothing.
She kept the tub. I'm like, Mom, there's nothing in there worth $10,000. There's nothing in there worth $10.
No.
She's like, well, some of those might be worth something.
But you know this as well as I do. You've even mentioned this to me. When you die, there's only three things in your house that's worth anything.
Guns.
Mm-hmm.
Silver.
Silver.
Albums.
That's right.
Maybe.
Vinyl.
Maybe.
And if it's a rare vinyl, it's worth a ton.
If it's brown, it's not worth anything. Your kids do not want your armoire.
No. But that's literally it. Silver, guns, vinyl.
Yep.
That's worth what is worth money in your home. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, so we've started something new, and we didn't do it last week because Sam wasn't here. It is the ADD, and that it stands for anti-dum-dum, word of the day, because we're going to educate ourselves and in the process hopefully educate you on a word that you more likely than not have never heard of, and then we're going to work it into a sentence so that you can use this word in your daily lexicon. Sam.
If you can remember it, which we cannot.
I cannot remember a single word we've done except
We're off to a rocking start.
One made you think it was about something naughty. Ineffable.
Ineffable, that's
which
right.
Which means too great to be described with words.
Okay.
Right.
Today's word, which by the way, we're going to get a quick twofer because you guys offered a word earlier that I had never heard before. And thank you for that. Bloviator.
He's a bloviator.
Yeah. You've never heard the term
full
bloviator?
Full of hot air and never shuts up.
In a pompous and boastful way. Bloviator. Anyway, the actual ADD word of the day, acnestis.
Acnestis.
Acnestis. A-C-N-E-S-T-I-S. And the part of the back.
Whoa, hang on.
Acnestis.
Acnestis.
Whatever. If I can't pronounce it, I'm not going to remember it, but go ahead.
Acnestis. Origin, please.
It doesn't give a true origin here, but I'll do some more research and I'll find it for you. The Oxford Dictionary is the only English dictionary that recognizes this word.
Acnestis.
It is the part of the back between the shoulder blades and the loins in which an animal cannot reach or scratch.
Oh, it's where you put the flea treatment on the cat between the shoulder blades.
Acnestis. And yours probably itches right now because I mentioned it
to
you.
Acnestis.
You're welcome.
Is there I'm trying to see if there's a part of my back that I can't reach.
I used to be able to scratch my entire back, which was apparently a party trick because most people can't do that. And now I can't even touch my fingers together.
I'm sure there's a part of my back that I can't touch.
Well, yeah, there is for all of us. It's always the part that itches. And wait,
it's called
okay.
The acnestis.
The acnestis.
If you put one arm behind your head and then the other arm behind your back, can you touch your fingers together?
I'm trying.
I can touch my middle finger and my pointer finger.
No, I cannot.
I think that means I'm smarter.
I don't think it has anything to do with brain power.
Okay.
Acnestis.
That is your ADD word of the day.
The part of your back that you can't touch.
Okay.
Do you wash your back?
Well, you can't really reach it.
So that's a no.
Well, you can't reach the acnestis.
I don't think anyone washes their acnestis. You can't reach it. That's why it's called that.
Well, some people have like the loofah on the end of...
I don't have the big loofah on a stick. No.
I don't either.
By the way, somebody on the text line says they have used one of the words that we gave them 2 weeks ago regularly.
Which one?
Which word is that?
Bombinator.
Bombinator.
Okay, bombinator.
Bombinator. One who bombinates.
That would be a bombinator.
Yeah. I don't remember any of them.
What does bombinator mean?
A person who speaks or makes noise to no effect.
Oh, this was the person who chews with their mouth open.
Oh,
yeah,
an open mouth chewer.
Bombinator.
Okay. Amid rising tensions around the world, this is from the New York Post, Penn State University scientists have revealed what the fallout would be if there were a nuclear war with an unfathomable famine, mass death, and a particular impact on a rather important crop after the bombs went off.
Oh, God.
According to the dystopian study published by the journal Environmental Research Letters, the destruction would extend well beyond the blast zones because of a nuclear winter, a catastrophic theoretical scenario in the wake of a nuclear conflict. During this apocalyptic aftermath, smoke and soot from the firestorms would blot out the sun, causing global cooling that would devastate agriculture worldwide. This could last for more than a decade, leading to widespread famine among the survivors of the initial conflict. The crop that would be the most impacted. Care to guess?
Milo.
Corn. They say that if it was a full-blown nuclear conflict, 80% of corn production would disappear immediately.
Hmm.
And we would
Wouldn't 80% of all crop production disappear immediately?
One would think,
Samuel.
The entire world was decimated in nuclear fallout, but... Man, those
soybeans
great.
That's what I was
And the Milo, just, they're like cockroaches. It survives a nuclear winter. It's
you gotta
crazy.
Check out the spinach, man. Oh it didn't gosh. Grow well before, but now it's killing it.
Two blind women traveling from Louisiana to Florida said that Southwest Airlines forgot them at the airport.
Oh, no.
Following a nearly five-hour flight delay. The women said the ordeal happened on July 14th as they waited to board their flight out of New Orleans. The pair told the outlet, that being WSVN TV, that they realized they had been left behind because they were the only two on the Orlando-bound flight. One of the women, Sherry Brunn, telling the news stations that they were told, quote, you're the only two people on this flight because we forgot about you.
Oh, no.
Says Camille Tate, I was angry and frustrated. Southwest denied that Brunn and Tate were forgotten at the gate. The airline said the flight the women were scheduled to be on was delayed almost 5 hours and that many of the other passengers were accommodated on another flight. They were given $100 in vouchers. I said they were given $100 in vouchers.
$100.
That's the standard. By the way, you only have a year to use it.
Have you ever bought into this, we're overbooked, and there is no chance in hell that I'm ever going to say, you know what, I'll take a free flight.
Oh, no, I wouldn't take a free flight, but sometimes it's like, all right, we'll give you $2,000. Okay, that I'll think about. If you're on a layover in Chicago and they've oversold that flight and you don't really have to be anywhere until the next day, why would you not take the money? I'd take the money all day long.
Because you have to go, because the amount of money that you would get. Now, if I'm in Kansas City and they said, you know, hey, we'll get you one. Let's say I was just going to visit some friends in Atlanta, okay?
Okay.
And you know, I'm scheduled to be gone for 5 days. And they said, hey, this flight is overbooked. We'll give you $1,000.
Okay.
You're guaranteed to be on a flight tomorrow morning at 8:30. I would take it. But if I'm in another city where I'm going to have to pay for a hotel and you're going to give me $1,000 and I don't get to go home, I have to go find myself a $200 a night room somewhere.
Right.
In a city that I'm not used to. No way.
But I guess I'm cheap because I don't care where I am. Yeah, if they offer me $1,000, I'm sleeping on the floor. I'll take that in singles.
Why do they overbook flights, though? I mean, that is the one question I've never...
Because statistically, they know a very small number of people are not going to show up for whatever reason. Didn't get to the airport on time. Family
overslept.
Whatever. Family emergency. Yeah. But I do feel like when a plane is overbooked, it's overbooked not by one or two that might not show up to the airport. It's overbooked by like 10. And it's like, okay, in what world are 10 people not going to show up for the flight?
But you've already sold out the flight. You're making your money off of that flight. And then to what end? You're going to oversell the flight and piss off, you know,
right,
five or six people who have to get bumped.
But that's when the price starts going up. That's when the price starts going up. And I've always been told, hold out, because they'll give you more than you think.
What's the minimum you would accept?
$2,000.
$2,000?
$2,000, and only if I have the time. Like, if you're on your way to vacation.
Yeah, I want to go on vacation.
I want to go on vacation. I don't want to hang out and look at the Chicago airport.
You can bump me all day long and twice on Sundays for $10,000.
Your price has come down.
Okay, 10,000. Did you hear about this?
There's always a tape for everything.
Sorry.
Homeowners in a South Cape Coral neighborhood say three short-term rental properties on one block are disrupting their once peaceful community with loud parties, overcrowding, and violation of that city's seven-day minimum stay ordinance. You know, some cities have done this. You're no longer allowed just to Airbnb for 2 days because they think that's going to be the wild crowd, right? If you're going to do it, you have to Airbnb for 8 days because you're probably a vacationing older couple that's not going to throw a rager on the roof.
Good.
Do we have those restrictions in place already, Sam, around Kansas City? And are they lifting those for the World Cup?
I believe Shawnee is the only one that has tried to put in a no short-term rental ordinance specifically.
Proud of
the
hotel.
Rest of the cities have just simply said, as long as you're willing to pay the hotel tax and you register your short-term rental, you are good to go. And by the way, register is
right,
basically saying pay us some money and we won't shut you down.
Listen to this. I didn't know they could do this. On this one street, there are three Airbnbs. All three properties are owned by the same Airbnb host who was just fined more than $30,000 by that city for ordinance violations. That's how you cut down on it. If there's a violation, it's a $30,000 fine. Here's 10 per.
But here's the problem with Airbnb. I've never stayed in one. I know you have. You love them if you're staying in them.
Would you like to describe that gathering on that Cape Coral Street?
Is that a biker club?
It is a biker club, Scott. It's a biker club.
Well, that's okay.
Nothing against bikers, but there's 50 of them on the front lawn.
And that's a one-story house.
Yep. They're not all going to fit in that three-bedroom ranch.
I don't think that's going to happen. And you know there's no basement.
The neighbors started taking photos. There's like 10 cars.
But everybody loves the Airbnb when they're going on vacation.
Correct.
The one thing you don't want is an Airbnb next door.
Nope.
That's right.
Well,
nope.
You had mentioned how there's three on the same block. That's part of the big issue with these outside investors swooping in and buying up all the property near big entertainment districts is because all they're going to do is furnish it and put it on Airbnb.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. A story here from The Independent. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says Walmart was allegedly aware for 7 years that a recently recalled water bottle sold in its stores posed a danger before two people were partially blinded. Last month, Walmart announcing that it would recall roughly 850,000 Ozark Trail 64-ounce stainless steel water bottles after reports emerged that the lids could forcefully eject, causing serious injuries, including blindness, in two of its users. The retailer said that the customer safety is a top priority and offered $15 refunds to owners of the affected bottles.
How much is your eyeball worth?
More than $15.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Walmart knew well before 2020 that these water bottles, I never heard, are these like these...
It's basically like the Yeti off brand.
Right.
So I have a lot of their products simply because they're cheap and they do a very good job. So what exactly is the problem here?
Apparently the lids can forcefully eject.
Okay, so I used to have a shaker. Oh gosh, what do you call it? A shaker.
We call it the Wyandotte Countium.
No. You know that you would put like
a shake weight,
a water and protein powder in or whatever.
A protein shake.
And it happened to be plastic, not metal like this. And I would snap the plastic lid shut and I would shake. And then all of a sudden you would hear this. You would hear the pressure.
The fizz.
The building up inside. And you had to kind of be careful when you pop that lid off because it would go pop. This is metal. And I think it's the same thing. It's pressurized. And so you're shaking it. And then the bottle cannot withstand the pressure inside. And then that very hard plastic piece just shoots you in the eye. And then you can't see, you're walking around like a pirate at that point.
Okay.
So I use the oversized 64-ounce military assault water bottles, I like to call them, which is what we're talking about here. The big jugs, metal with the plastic lid. And if I were to put coffee or hot water in there for tea or something, or maybe soup if I'm up in the UP, every single time I open it, I know for a fact that that lid's going to launch off. It's pressure.
Well, but there, it's not people like you that they're worried about. You have to remember that you live in the United States, and there are a lot of dumb people here, like a lot. And people...
I mean, it's a...
I can't...
Really? It's a screw top lid. It's not.
It is a screw top, which means the pressure that
has
thing
to be enormous.
Would have to be under to pop off.
Can we stop with the hand motions?
Now you're doing both hands.
I don't know how else to describe it unless you've had one of those things. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The problem is they say Walmart has known about this
for 7 years.
Well, yeah, because how many people, you know.
But
I've lost an eye.
Again, that's how it works. You get pressure buildup when you put they're built to do cold water or hot water, right?
Right.
You put something hot in there, you seal the lid, pressure will build. It's
but
science.
To the point that a screw top will fly off and
when you unscrew it, most certainly.
And then it takes an eye out.
I've that's even right. had it shoot like the liquid shoot out of.
Oh, I sent
the
by
bottle.
The way, I sent that photo to all of my kids and I said, if you have one of these, throw it away. It's not worth your eye. I'll get you another.
Just don't shake it up here.
How do you shake it?
It's time to go to break.
It is. We got the news coming up in 2 minutes with Dan Weinmann.
Do not shake aggressively.
Sam Stevie the Third.
You will lose an eye.
Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We will see you on the other side of the news. God willing.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.